Is housing hot or not? New data will give us some clues. From APM in New York, I'm Matt Nesto, sitting in for David Brancaccia. Economists say average home prices are probably up about 5% in the country's largest metropolitan areas. This as the Case-Shiller 20-city housing price index for January will be released about 2 hours from now. While certainly good, does 5% constitute a housing rebound? As Gigi Devan reports, well, that depends.
All good things must come to an end, right? That's the kind of thinking that's driving the demand for homes. Craig Lazara is with the S&P Dow Jones Indices. He says as people anticipate interest rates going up, they're thinking,
if I can borrow at 3%, that's better than borrowing at 6, so I'm going to borrow today at 3.
Another thing driving demand, there's not that much out there for sale, especially in the $200,000 range. That's the median right now. Danielle Hale is with the National Association of Realtors.
There is a lot of pent-up demand.
She says a lot of people want to buy right now, especially millennials. As for supply, she says for one thing, smaller construction firms are running up against stricter borrowing regulations,
which is keeping that inventory lower than the market is calling for right now.
So are housing prices going up because of A, an improving economy, B, pent-up demand, or C, limited supply? The answer is D, all of the above. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
Now to the ongoing negotiations with Iran. The five permanent members of the UN Security Council, plus Germany, have been in Switzerland since Sunday, trying to get some sort of a deal done that would prevent Tehran from developing a nuclear bomb in exchange for easing economic sanctions that are crippling its economy. Secretary of State John Kerry has put the odds of reaching a deal at 50-50. And oil markets are taking note. Crude prices are down almost 2% today. Amrita Sen is chief oil analyst at Energy Aspects, and she told the BBC why the talks are impacting prices.
A lot of expectations that if there is a deal, a lot of Iranian oil would come back. I mean, if you're looking at the very near term, maybe 300,000 barrels per day, not that much, but the potential is huge. Iran claims it can bring anything between 1 plus or 1.5 million barrels per day to the market quite quickly. I'd be skeptical of that because decline rates are very high. Some of these fields have never been done proper maintenance on for decades. Plus, also remember, it is seasonally the weakest time for oil prices. So regardless of whether we get a deal or not, some downward pressure is going to persist. But yes, I think the potential is there. The question is whether the sanctions truly get lifted and whether the company are interested enough to go back there.
No matter what happens in the talks, Sen says at least some Iranian oil will continue to find its way to market.
They have been restricted to exporting about 1 million barrels per day compared to their previous highs of 2.5 million barrels per day. They've been primarily sending it to Asia, China, India, South Korea, Japan. That's going to continue regardless because President Obama has waived some waivers to these countries, so that's why they can get Iranian oil regardless.
That was Amrita Sen, chief oil analyst at Energy Aspects. And let's do some more numbers. U.S. stock futures are lower this morning by about 0.5% on this final trading day of the first quarter. In Europe, the FTSE in London is leading the decliners there right now, down by 1%. The DAX in Germany and CAC in Paris also down a fraction. Asian stocks also ended their day lower. Russian President Vladimir Putin has said he'll intervene anywhere to protect ethnic Russians from persecutions, just like in Ukraine. Which begs the question, what about Latvia? The tiny Baltic state has a large, disgruntled Russian-speaking minority. They complain that their language rights have been restricted. From the Latvian capital of Riga, Stephen Beard reports.
Latvia has more than 500,000 Russians, a third of the population. Many, like lawyer and activist Elizabeth Krivtskova, are disaffected.
As a Russian speakers, we are not welcomed, we are not wanted in this country.
She says they face restrictions on using their language in business and public life. They can't get citizenship unless they speak Latvian. 300,000 are non-citizens.
I have born in this country, it's my country, but I'm treated as a foreigner here, and that is not acceptable for me.
The Kremlin's been stoking up the discontent, beaming TV channels like this one into Latvia.
Political scientist Simona Gerbo says they're the main source of news for many of Latvia's Russian speakers.
They don't listen to Latvian news, so they have no idea sometimes what is going on in Latvian politics, but they follow closely everything that is going on in Russia.
And from Russia comes this message: you're oppressed and persecuted living in the West. The propaganda seems to be having an effect. At this recent demonstration, a Russian-speaking woman called the arrival of NATO forces in Latvia an occupation. The authorities here say the Kremlin funded the protest. I put that to the organizer, Josef Korens.
It's not true.
You don't take any money at all from the Russian Federation?
You can check my pockets.
He denies that Latvia's Russian speakers are seeking separation.
No, absolutely no.
And economist Morten Hansen agrees.
They have incomes that are doing, in most cases, better than in Russia, unless you're an oligarch, of course. And therefore, there are not really that many reasons for wishing that you had something from Russia here.
In the end, he says, money talks in a language everyone understands. In Riga, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Finally, news that McDonald's will begin testing expanded hours for breakfast. The fast food chain is known for ending its breakfast menu at around 11 a.m., claiming its grills are just too small to keep up cooking breakfast items all day through lunch and so on. It's also known for its sales, which are trailing the likes of Chipotle and other fast casual chains. McDonald's will start tests next month in select stores around the San Diego area. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Meg Kramer. I'm Matt Nesto with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.